Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Wake up, it's time to go. Zach Amico's got a show. Animals are here to play. Jokes and guests to start your day. Tell the Sandman no more sleep. Eat some eggs and cook some beef. Laugh is waiting, don't be shy. Stretch your legs and touch the sky. Grab a coffee and join the crew.
Good morning. It is a Wednesday here at the Gas Digital Studios. It's me, your other boy, the international superstar, Cousin Zach, saying welcome to the morning zoo. Very excited to be here because I have two great guests today. A stalwart of the show and a good friend. It's our buddy, Brett Raybould. How you doing, dog?
I got stalwart status.
Stalwart.
I got to get, you know that SNL has the Five Timers Club? Can I get... smoker jacket of the Zach Amico's.
Yeah. We'll get one big one that everyone has to share.
That's fine, man. That's fine.
Thank you for being here. And next to him, very excited to have him. Very, very funny. Drew Dunn. How you doing,
What's
dog?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good morning. I'm fucking great, man. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Let's knock plugs right out of the way. Mr. Raybould, what do you want the fans to check out?
Zach, you know I'm a hack. And I last time I was here, I tried to sell merch. And I did. I got rid of two vinyls, so I brought one other piece of merch.
Please.
It's always worth it if I can sell it. These are my cum rags. Just please, if you'd like me on this show or you just want to support Zach, buy a cum rag, DM me on Instagram. I will sell you an unused cum rag.
Yeah.
That's my
Not
my
like
plug.
That one. That one's clearly...
This one is clean.
Oh, okay.
Get in there.
No. I trust your word for it. Yeah.
Is it more or less if it's used?
Listen.
Depending on the buyer.
Depending on the buyer. If you want me to use it and then
it's a seller's market.
Right.
It's, yeah.
Is it up or down today?
So that's my hackery.
Yeah, good for you,
and
man.
And give me your socials and shit.
Oh, Brett Raybould on Instagram. I got a special on YouTube called Live at the Library.
Fantastic. Mr. Dunn?
DrewDunnComedy.com for all tour tickets. Follow me on YouTube, posting a new video every Tuesday and going live after it. So having some fun with that.
Fantastic. Yeah. Instagram, Zach is not funny. PunchUp.live/ZachAmico for all my dates. This Saturday, I am at the Governor's That's Far Away with Chris Faga and Joanna Angel hosting. Next weekend, I am at a brewery in Connecticut with Greg Stone. And my good buddy Alex Tomaselli. After that, it looks like a little mini tour with me and my brother Crack Amico, and most importantly, shooting my first ever half an hour special, May the 23rd, in Austin, Texas, the Creek of the Cave, 7 p.m., 9 p.m. Myself and Tim Butterly will each be recording our half an hours. And hey, if you love the show, go to gasdigital.com today. Use my promo code ZOO. You save a little bit of money. You get your episodes ad-free, early, and uncensored. You get access to the live chat, as well as the archives, thousands of episodes of all your favorite gas shows from over the last decade. Plus, holy moly, we do a Friday show as well. And if you want that third bonus episode, the only way to get it is by subscribing. But regardless of how you consume the program, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for watching. Mr. Raybould, you went to tell me a story in the lobby, and I told you to put a fucking sock in it.
Yeah, I know.
Because I said, let's save it for the show.
I don't even know
if hear it.
It's not even that good of a story. I just
let's start with it.
Had a conversation with Gary K. Wolf, who is the writer of Roger Rabbit this morning.
Oh, very cool.
Wow.
Me and a friend wrote a sequel to Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and I was at a show in New York. I was wearing my Who Framed Roger Rabbit t-shirt, and one of the comics on the show is his wife. Was like, oh, I know the writer of that. And then I told, oh, he wrote this sequel. And then she goes, do you want me to connect you to the writer? I was his yoga teacher for like 5 years.
Wow.
And so I just talked to him. He's going to read what we wrote. He has the rights to Roger Rabbit. Anyway, but it was just kind of cool.
No, that's cool.
This guy's like a legend.
Yeah, no, that's great, man.
And I will say, movie that holds up.
Yeah.
It's the best movie ever.
It's so fun. I watch it at least once a year.
It's really good.
When I was a kid, I was just, yeah, that was the go-to. One of the few we had on DVDs. You'd put it on before you went to bed.
A movie that explained race relations before we understood it.
Exactly.
In the least subtle way possible.
Yeah.
You got to change one letter of Toontown to realize what it meant.
Yeah. May have got the whole world into cartoon titties without even realizing it.
Oh, you know? My God.
I think that was the gateway cartoon titty for this whole generation.
Oh, definitely. Because then they tried to go with sexy cartoons. If you remember Cool World.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. No, what was Cool World?
Shannon, can you bring up the trick? Cool World was essentially a more sexy Roger Rabbit, where it was all...
I think I remember this, but I might be mistaken.
And it was a guy has like a cartoon girlfriend type thing.
Oh, my God. You can't beat Jessica, though.
Yeah.
No.
That's Jessica the hottest Rabbit. Woman God. Ever. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
It made him very successful.
You're Jack Deeb's, the creator of Cool World, right? I can't believe this.
Now he thinks he's going home to the real world. But he's wrong. Real wrong.
Welcome to my world.
You're not in Kansas anymore.
Essentially, very, very Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Police. I'm a cartoonist. I drew
a wall. I forgot Brad Pitt's the other guy in this.
Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
I've been waiting for you, darling.
Noids do not have sex with doodles.
It's the oldest. Noids do not have sex with doodles.
What am I here
That's
for?
That's like hate speech these days, dude. You can't even say that.
No son of mine's marrying a doodle. See, the property values are going down. We got doodles moving in.
Dude. Don't.
Wow.
All right, you can cut it.
This is great, because I was going to say, this is back when they made stuff that they just wanted to make. There's clearly no target audience demographic that they're catering everything they write to. They just went, this is fucking great. What
Let's
is the cartoon?
$100 million or whatever it is at this thing that's for nobody.
Nobody.
That's not a cheap movie to make.
No.
Because you
no,
have
crazy.
To animate. Like, you watch how they made Roger Rabbit. They would have real world props. So, you know, the toons interact with the world. If a toon does this and splashes water, like, it's real water. It's not cartoon. So they had to make props and then draw over the props that they filmed. Does
wow.
that make sense?
Yeah.
So that, like, it interacted. So that movie was probably on, like, an insane amount.
With Roger Rabbit, they also had, like, a Roger doll on set to give people perspective of how big he was.
Yes.
Yeah, right, right.
And then the guy who played Roger would show up on set in a costume.
Yeah,
and do scenes just so that people had somebody to act against.
Yeah, that's
makes
insane.
Sense. Charles Fleischer, he's a legend. I've also talked to him.
Oh, cool.
He loves the script.
Chad, you can bring up the picture I put on Instagram. I brought up this the other day when I was little.
dad's
friend did a great Roger Rabbit, and he would call me every month. And Roger Rabbit would call me on the phone when I was little.
No way.
That's so awesome.
And I thought Roger Rabbit was my friend when I was little.
Oh,
that would call
so
my dad.
Great.
I was like, dude, my dad's friends with him.
he would do that.
Yeah, who needs the creator? I'll connect you with the guy himself.
Yeah.
I'll get Roger on the
line. My dad's got his number.
Tell my son he's being very bad.
you got to stop eating, please. Oh, that's awesome, dude.
That's hilarious.
I mentioned this movie before, and I guess it was a bomb when it came out. But upon rewatching recently, goddamn, I love Monkey Bone.
Monkey Bone.
So Monkey Bone is another
cartoon sex.
So it is Brendan Fraser is an animator who goes into a coma and gets stuck in the world he created, and then the monkey, who is his main character, takes over his body.
Wow.
And it's banging. It's got Brendan Fraser, Rose McGowan as a half cat, half woman.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And excellent physical comedy by Chris Kattan.
Really?
Yeah. I believe that.
Chris Kattan plays a marathon runner who gets, I want to say, hit by a truck or something.
Okay.
And his neck's broken. And Brendan Fraser gets into his body and is trying to stop them. but his neck. You can play that. Just play from here. Yeah, Chris Kattan's like putting his bones back together the whole time.
That's great.
You know, I think Chris Kattan was kind of underutilized. I really believe that. He had a bomb. What
Corky
was
Romano.
That bombed, and then that derailed, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't think the Night at the Roxbury movie did particularly well.
But it's great. And that's one that at least the legacy of is bigger than probably the instant impact it had on cinema. Because it's still, everyone still knows the little head thing. Like, it still has
I bet not everybody.
Yeah.
Who are these men?
Yeah, yeah.
Why they move their heads like that?
Who's Jim Carrey?
Who, Will Ferrell? Something wrong? He got rabies? Why he feral?
There was a person on this show who didn't know the most basic entertainment references.
Yeah, it was the only time in the history of podcasts I've yelled at somebody.
For not knowing. Yeah, Zach's always the nicest host. Even to me, and I've been unfunny in all the episodes. Wait, I gotta say this. This is a quick thing. Zach said the most accidentally funniest thing, roast of me, last time I did this show.
Okay.
I don't know, a couple months ago. Zach made a roast joke, as you do to comics, where the punchline is, you're not funny.
Right.
Classic. We've all done those. We all get them. He made one of those at me. I laughed because it's funny. And then he paused and got serious and goes like, I want to be clear. I don't want the narrative to be Brett is not funny. And I'm sitting there going, oh, I guess there's a narrative. Brett's not funny. Yeah.
No, it's because I'm in my head about it.
You're so nice. And because you did that, I'm like,
I got to stay away from the comment section.
Yeah. Okay, so I realized a couple years ago through therapy and conversations
that Brett wasn't funny.
Of course. That I have weaponized my vitriol as a career. And I grew up getting made fun of. My dad's side of the family, my dad's got four brothers. All they did was busball. Every funeral was just a gauntlet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of five men ridiculing everything about you.
Yeah.
And my wife never understood the roast thing. She goes, you're not like you're not mean. You don't do it like in conversation.
Right.
And she was like, then you do that and you're so fucking mean to people. Then she went to a family event and watched all my cousins get destroyed and then me just go back.
Yeah, yeah. It's defense more than it's anything.
And she's like, oh my God. She's like, you just weaponized your trauma. And then when me and Lewis started doing podcasts together, the narrative when we started was that I stink at comedy.
Okay.
And that kind of haunted me for a while.
It follows it onto me.
But that would be the narrative that I sucked. And then we both started doing better, and Lewis, of course, exponentially better than me, but we still would do those jokes. And then we would go on different podcasts together, and I would start making fun of Lewis's comedy.
Right, right.
And he was like, hey, dude, that's not a good way to advertise us. We should always have each other. We can make fun of each other, but at the end of the day, we should always build each other up.
Right, right.
So that the narrative isn't, hey, these guys suck.
Yeah, yeah, or this guy sucks, look at this guy, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so when I do that to people, I want it to be clear. If somebody actually sucked,
right,
I would go, great guy. It's the fact that I'm brutally mean.
No, of course, when someone can make a, like, roast you, it shows that, like, you're actually friends.
I'm from a family of seven kids, six boys, so, yeah, that was my... Oh, we did roast battles when I was a kid.
Like, yeah.
We would go, and my dad would have a stand on two sprinkler heads, and we would play Don't Cry, which you would just roast your brother until they cried, and then you'd get another brother in his place, and you'd try and be the last one standing.
It was called Diabolical.
Don't Cry. It was so... It's so good for you, though. Like, no bully at school could ever hurt my feelings. They don't have the intel that my brothers have.
That's diabolical, though. That's worse than if he just told you guys to fight.
Yeah, yeah, no. We barely fist fought because of that. Like, we'd get physical maybe a few times ever. It was mostly, like, just finding ways to hurt each other's feelings with words.
Were you best in the... How'd you do on the power rankings?
I did pretty good because I, like, once you hear everything, you know, you kind of just get numb to it. And once you can realize, nothing can hurt you, then you can just sit in the pocket and really, like, make your younger brother second guess every decision.
You're on the older end of it?
Yeah, I'm second oldest. oldest.
Unfair
advantage,
oh, bro.
For sure.
You're like 13. He's 6. He barely knows words.
I'm just playing the game.
I had to do that for a friend who had a 14-year-old who was really mouthed off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my buddy Arlo. I've told this before, but my buddy Arlo is a third-generation sideshow performer.
Okay.
Wow. And he
only Zach, bro.
He, on multiple summers, has been a professional dunk tank clown.
Wow.
Which means he has got the gift of gab.
Totally. Yes. Yeah.
Because he can make people mad.
Totally.
They're just breaking out 20s.
Yeah, right.
To make him wet.
Yeah. You got a 50-year-old woman throwing 50 miles an hour for the first time in her life. Yeah.
And he was great at it. And then he had a kid, and now the kid is just, at the time, he was a fucking ginger just cunt. He was so mean. He's like, he's mean to his teachers.
Yeah,
he's mean to me.
Yeah.
And he took him to a gig. He's like, listen, he's really been disrespectful. I need you to ruin this kid. He's like, whatever he says, because he's going to walk in the room and make fun of you.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, I need you to light him up to the point that he questions whether or not he's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just fucking ruined the child. I just fucking busted his balls. I watched his demeanor. I watched his confidence leave.
Yeah, like a little fucking spirit drifting out of him.
And at the end of the day, he was the dad was like, hey, thanks. He really needed that.
Oh, yeah.
He even said the next day, he was like, Dad, I think I've been mean.
That's good for a 14-year-old to go through that.
Yeah, he got a year of therapy in one afternoon. I think
he also, and just if you think it was a bad day, it was a burlesque show. And he got to hang out in the dressing room the whole day.
Pretty sweet deal for him.
Yeah. And it was, he had a good day.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, he had a fucking, I would have taken that beating gladly.
For sure, dude. Say whatever you want about me.
A bunch of chubby tattooed girls change costumes in front of me the whole day.
Pretty sweet.
He had a day. All right, we got a bunch of silly shit to look at today. Let's start with this. So Chris Pratt, I guess, is low-key pretty religious.
I think it's on the higher end of the keys.
But
it's
like,
pretty
high-key. Well, he gets away with it. I'm saying he's not associated with it on site.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
And I believe he's part of a church that maybe denounces homosexuality, a few things. Now, the Chris Pratt I remember from not that long ago in my head was the one married to Anna Faris.
Right.
Who seemed like a sweet guy.
Yes.
But then it seems like, I don't know if he fucking joined Skull and Bones or he had the meeting.
Yeah, right.
With the Illuminati where they're like, hey, you want to be a star? You got to drop this bitch, marry a Kennedy.
And lift a lot.
And you want to be a fucking Kennedy Schwarzenegger?
I mean, it does. If anybody got pulled into one of those meetings in the last few years, it was Chris Pratt. I mean, he went from Parks and Rec to every Jurassic Park movie, Marvel movies. Like, he's everywhere.
I feel like it was like him and Ryan Reynolds blindfolded naked with a bunch of guys in robes around him.
It's like, he was like the beloved, like, oh, this is like the most earnest, endearing, funny guy. And then now he's just, his jaw is as square as it gets, and he's devoid of personality. Like he doesn't even quip.
But I wonder if that's just kind of inevitable with that level of fame. Like, you get to that point, and you got to optimize your health because you got to shoot this movie. You got to be in this shape. Everything's measured in every part of your life.
Yeah,
and
literally, if you gain 20 pounds,
not even
a couple hundred people are out of work.
Yeah, like every minute of every day is scheduled and optimized.
Sure.
That, like, how do you not just become that after like a decade of doing that? You know, like, how do you stay being yourself when you don't even get a chance to do it? You know, I don't know what comes first. Like, and it's kind of the same thing with the religion. All these super successful people kind of turn into like, it was all God all along. It's like, did you feel that way when you were eating shit? Or is it just now that it's working? Do you feel that way? I can't tell what
it's
comes
first. Once they do the turn to God, it's like, what are you hiding?
Yeah,
it's like Russell Brand like made the turn to God, and you're like, oh, very convenient.
Yeah. What came first, the confessional booth? Or...
Yeah, you gotta find communion. Jesus after the orgies.
And Russell Brand was a naughty boy.
Yes,
his
probably worse than naughty.
His radio show in Britain was brutally mean.
Yeah,
he called. It was him and his co-host, and I believe it might have been Brand. Dated the granddaughter of one of the guys from Fawlty Towers. And I guess Fawlty Towers is like talking about Seinfeld here. Like,
sure,
it's like upper echelon. It was one of those shows where they did like a two seasons and we're like, we're good. This is perfect. We're going to leave. Like the way British TV kind of walks away. And they called the one guy from Fawlty Towers and started telling him about fucking his granddaughter, who was like a hot, like, alt burlesque kind of chick.
Just on the radio?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, they got in a lot of trouble for it. He also, like, talked about, like, smoking crack and, like, doing gay shit.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt said something. A common activity his five-year-old has never done. I thought we could guess. I'm going to assume see him in a movie or watch TV.
Oh, definitely watch TV.
I was going to guess be empathetic. Yeah. Yeah. Five-year-old's never seen him be empathetic.
Let a black touch him. I'm going to guess watch TV.
Yeah, because there's too many. He's in too many young kid movies to not.
Yeah, I guess you can show him Mario.
Yeah, right. Like he's in, Mario fucking. Yeah, he's definitely watched his dad be in a movie. When does Chris Pratt sit down and watch TV?
Yeah, that's probably.
You know what I mean?
I feel he might be that kind of religious who's like, we don't have a TV in the house.
Yeah, right. He probably barely sees his dad anyway.
Yeah, it's probably a lot of.
So when dad's home, if dad's sitting on the couch watching TV, he's like, what the fuck are you even doing?
I'm convinced he has a CG version of himself in the house to interact with his child.
One of those little white hollow boxes you see popping up everywhere. Hey, son.
Don't they have him at the Guardians ride now?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Or it's some version of that. I don't know. It's some Disney's doing all these new hologram kind of.
I think they have a him that gives you the instructions for the Guardians ride. Okay.
An animatron or like just him on a pre-recorded video?
Like a hologram type of. Like the, not like he's in the room with you, but he's in the box. Like you said, the box.
Yeah, like looks. Yeah. They're doing a lot of that shit with Disney. They don't even need the box in Disney. They'll just be like in front of you somehow with like a glass circle around it.
We were watching this the other day for the new animatronics. They have blank faces.
Yeah, yeah.
And they project the face on it.
Yeah,
but they can like sweat and bleed and like they can like
what?
Yeah, it's weird.
For the animatrons, the robots that do the shit.
Yeah, yeah. They can like but it's projected on. Wow. So it's like a 3D projection onto a blank face.
Yeah.
And the face is just around nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a projector screen kind of looking.
Right. So are we guessing watch TV?
Yeah, it's gotta be
Shannon.
TV.
It is, I don't know about TV in general, but it is, they've never seen a movie. His 5, 3, and 1-year-old have never seen movies at all. But it does say that his 13-year-old, he took to see the screening of Super Mario Brothers in 2023. And it seems like his wife, Catherine Schwarzenegger, it says that he said that she is like very weird about technology and screens and stuff.
Well, she's scared of Skynet.
Yeah, I get why. I mean, look at her dad. You know?
How do you not grow up scared of technology when you have fucking
technology? No screens! No screens for your kids! My grandchildren will not become a victim of Skynet!
See a movie is a lot. I guess maybe they're allowed to watch like Bluey or something, but see a movie is wild.
Yeah, I think a movie's fine. You know, I think that's better than putting on Bluey. Bluey never ends. 7,000 episodes of that show. It'll just fucking loop forever, you know?
Yeah.
Show your kid a movie. It's like, yeah, here it is. It's over. Now we're done.
No, not with kids. Kids, you got to watch it a million times.
You do.
No, I have a kid. I fucking shut it off. It's over. We watch a movie. It's done. All right, let's do something else.
I wish I wasn't so excited for that next Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah. I'll see
I'm
it.
Such a... First of all, I loved the first...
It was good?
I was a pig and shit, dude. I was fucking a happy
little
boy.
They did a good job with it, yeah.
I didn't think I was going to like it, and I loved it. This one, it's such like nerd service, because fucking stupid fat me is like, oh, that's the bad, that's Birdo. Or, you know, that's the bad guy from Mario 3.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Or even like they showed him in the desert world from Mario Odyssey. And I'm like, oh, we're bringing Mario Odyssey canon into this? Let's go, baby. Right.
That's hilarious. Did Chris Pratt... from the trailer, did he try on the voice?
No.
That might be the weak spot, right? Because it seemed like he kind of just did the generic voice.
Well, I think the excuse they do is that that's a fake voice they do for the commercials or something.
Yeah, because he'll put it on for, like, moments and, like, the sound effects. He'll be like, woohoo! And then he'll be like, yeah, now I'm Chris Pratt again with, like, a little Italian on it. It's,
You're like, no!
I'm like, give me Mario over the top.
I mean, it is crazy that he was Lego guy, him and Garfield.
Lego guy worked because it was just like
a regular guy,
regular guy, cheerful guy.
Now Garfield's black, right?
Jeez.
The next Garfield is black, I'm pretty sure.
Wasn't he always?
Wow. He doesn't like lasagna.
See, in my head, Garfield is Bill Murray.
Right, right.
And that's kind of a psyop because in my head, Garfield was Bill Murray when we were little.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was only Bill Murray in the movies. There was a guy who did Bill Murray's voice in real Ghostbusters was Garfield, I believe.
Okay.
So that's why in my head, Garfield has always sounded like Bill Murray.
Right, right, right. Because it's kind of been that same,
Shannon, am I crazy at that one?
I'm looking it up.
Love hearing those keys. Love hearing the keys, Shannon. I have a question for you, Shannon.
Yeah.
What's the thing you've looked up the most in your history of running a show for Zach that has upset you the most?
I don't know. See, in my mind, it all merges together between this show and Real Ass Podcast and the Lewis and Zach show.
That's fine.
But I would say anything animal murder related, I don't love.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of prairie dogs getting a sniper shot.
I think we watched that.
I've shown a lot of people that.
I actually think you banged on the bathroom door to show me.
Yeah, I think
you're
I did.
Like, yeah, you flipped the phone under the door.
That sounds like me.
I've watched that with you.
Grown up whack-a-mole, dude. Yeah. I mean, that's great.
We've explained before. It's humane.
Yeah.
Because gophers and shit dig holes in fields, and horses and cows will step in them, break their legs, and then they got to kill them.
Right.
So if you get infested with something that puts a bunch of holes in the field, you got to hire a service.
Yeah.
And rather than put poison out that might kill everything, you gotta whack them.
The terriers, when the terriers kill the
rats.
The rats,
we've done that a bunch.
We have
too.
Done that. That's one of the best
ratting,
just, like, internet videos.
Oh yeah, just sending a fucking dog.
Oh no, they'll send in a team
of terriers,
a whole
of nasty ass
squad of terriers,
and they just and they'll like go to like an infested farm and like flip a fucking crate or something. Like
wow,
rats
and just 100 go at these terriers. Dude, they're like trained. They don't like fuck with them. They go, rah, snap, and then they move to the next
one. Wow, wow.
And then they line all the rats up at the end and take a picture.
Oh, that's so great.
Holding it up like
yeah,
a fucking
it's
fish.
A fun day.
Wow.
So, all right, movie, that's fair. Mario, looking forward to it. Had a joke about Black Garfield. Not going to say it.
Yeah.
Because it would be very unbecoming.
Right.
But I will say it. Off air and maybe have DM'd it to people. All right, moving on. Hey, guys, real quick. You ever wake up in the morning and just feel soft, like your coffee is warming your hands, but not doing a damn thing for your balls or your brain? Well, that's why they created Body Brain Coffee. It's not just coffee. It's coffee with purpose, specifically testosterone. Packed with clinically backed ingredients, this isn't your girlfriend's oat milk latte. This is for men who want to get their edge back in the gym, in the boardroom, and yeah, in the bedroom too. And it's not just about tea. Body Brain is also built to dial in your focus, clarity, and mood thanks to lion's mane, ashwagandha, and L-theanine. So while your basic brew is giving you the jitters and a crash, Body Brain Coffee is helping you stay sharp, calm, and locked in. All while supporting your natural testosterone levels. If you're serious about your energy, your mindset, and your masculinity, it starts with what you put in your cup. You can save 15% today with the promo code ZOO15 at bodybraincoffee.com. That's ZOO15 at bodybraincoffee.com. Powerbraincoffee.com. Power your day. Fuel your drive. Let's get back into the show. Robot goes berserk in restaurant in California.
Oh boy, it's beginning.
I told you, this is what I was worried about. Turn off the screen now. Get my grandchildren. Where's the iPad? Destroy it. There's supposed to be a cooking robot, I believe.
I think I saw.
The robots were there as a promotion for the new Zootopia movie.
Okay.
And so they're just kind of entertaining.
Legitimately,
So was you supposed to dance around and be like, go see Zootopia?
Yes.
God, thank God they gave that job to a robot. Imagine if that was just a person.
Yeah, imagine if that was some poor Mexican.
I'd be flipping out, too. I'd be smashing the table if I had that fucking gig.
Yeah, some poor fucking Mexican guy's got to wear the Zootopia outfit all day.
Yeah, you stand here and dance for the rich people, all right? I hate this job.
So they had to drag it out, right? It went nuts and started banging on shit?
Yes. Yeah, they had to drag it out. But no one was, like, angry about it. Everyone enjoyed it.
Sure. But that also, it malfunctioning is just better promotion for the movie.
For sure. It's probably better than if it just worked.
Yeah, 100%. We wouldn't have even heard about it.
Yeah. I didn't even know there was a Zootopia 3.
Two. I didn't.
Two?
Yeah.
See, I don't know anything.
Yep.
I don't know nothing about no Zootopias.
Zootopia 2.
It came out a while ago. The thing is still promoting it?
You got to buy it right now. I think it's like you only buy it because I don't even know. It's theaters and you got to, or you can pay $20 or something like
that.
We
got to get back to DVDs.
I know,
dude. I'm actually serious. We got to get back to DVDs.
Yeah, something. Just give me something physical to put in and feel like I own something for once. You know?
Truly, though, everything is just in the air and it's like, what's the point?
We had this conversation on Real Ass Podcast last week. Lewis tried to rent Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
It is not available on any streaming service.
What? You just can't? You just have to have a fucking VHS kicking around?
So we found out that you can buy a Blu-ray.
Okay.
You can torrent it on archive.org where somebody has it up. Or what I found was if you use a VPN and change your location to England, it's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, interesting.
That's the least natural way of renting the movie is you gotta do a VPN.
Yeah.
Set it to different countries. Oh, let me try Croatia. Maybe it's in Croatia.
Here we are. Revenge of the Nerds.
Classic.
Finally, this is me. Totally me.
That's insane. It's not even just on Amazon. You can't rent it on like Google or YouTube.
It's a famous movie. The thing that people don't realize, because I'm a proponent of physical media.
Yes.
I collect vinyls. Because I think they sound the best, and I like having them.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. I know it's nerdy, whatever. I like having, if I love a movie, I like to have a steelbook, a Blu-ray, a Criterion, or something of it.
Yeah.
Because I do fear the day that one day a movie that I love will be stricken.
Yeah, right.
Very glad I have my Simpsons DVDs.
Yeah, right.
Because I want the Michael Jackson one. I'm very glad I have my Always Sunny DVDs.
Right.
Bunch of those gone. Mighty Boosh, a bunch gone.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, they've gone back and like when there was something that was, I guess, offensive or on the line, like they've gone back and cut out those moments from the shows.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember the exact ones, but like Community had
the Dark Elf.
A Dark Elf who Ken Jeong was wearing what does look like, the joke is it looks like blackface. He's a dark elf. But everyone is obviously like, dude, not okay, and he doesn't get it. But they strict that completely, like you said.
Yeah.
Like it just no longer.
That episode was missing for a long time. There's a couple 30 Rocks.
Yeah.
So I've made this point before. I think we've lost nuance where if you can't make fun of somebody for being wrong,
right,
then
right.
we won't understand why it's wrong.
Totally.
That's
yeah.
the joke.
The joke is that this is wrong and you don't get it.
The joke on 30 Rock was always, Jenna did blackface for Halloween and didn't realize why it was offensive.
Right, right,
because
right.
Jenna's a fucking idiot.
Yes.
The same with Always Sunny when they did the Die Hard, Lethal Weapons.
Yes, right.
That they were also, that Sweet D would dress up as a Puerto Rican reporter and not realize how offensive she was being because they're fucking idiots.
Right? Yes, yes. It's about the character, not about the fact that you're doing it.
Or even when they go back and try and get Sarah Silverman for the blackface episode of Sarah Silverman Show, that's the funniest fucking bit. Do you remember how good it was?
No, I don't remember it from her show.
Janice, you could find it. It's... She decides she's going to live life as a black woman for a day. And the way they set it up makes me... It's because, A, it's a reference to one of my favorite movies, or at least my favorite time in movies, which is Robin Williams on top.
Yeah, yeah.
So she goes to a makeup artist, and they essentially do the Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
Where it looks like she's getting fitted with like prosthetics and all this, and they just put blackface on her. And then she goes, I'm beautiful. Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh my God.
I look like the beautiful Queen Latifah.
Oh, I forgot that it's Eddie Pepitone.
New York, this is your last chance. I had no idea how cruel white people could be to us. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm black today. Forsaken by my own people. This is literally my darkest hour. You were right. It's so much harder to be black than it is to be Jewish. I'd kill myself if I were black. Excuse me, miss. Don't worry, I'm not black. There's nothing harder in the world than being black.
Exactly.
Gee, that wouldn't happen to be because I'm black, would it? You have a problem with me being black, officer?
Well, yeah, it's revolting.
Ugh.
Completely over the line.
Tell people what you've seen in her.
It's very funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because yeah. We're exploiting the ignorance of the character.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And showing why it's wrong.
Yeah. Man, there's just no space for that anymore. Like, what's the point of... They wouldn't even allow a bit even close to that. I mean, to the point where they're just washing it off of the past. Like, anything that's even close to that. I mean, that's like...
Yeah.
That's the craziest blackface out of any of the ones that we've discussed.
That's as bad as it gets.
That's actual fucking vaudevillian blackface. Yeah.
Because I feel like we... At some point, the line stopped being blackface to make fun of black people to now you cannot play a race. You can't paint yourself
right
to be a person of a different shade than you.
Now, when they start doing all this stuff and it's going to be like an AI actor or overlay, everything's perfect, is it going to be okay for a white guy to play an Indian? Is that blackface? If you play every character like a... You know, an Eddie Murphy movie, but it's all CGI'd to be actual different people. Is that racist?
I've heard people refer to auditory blackface.
Okay.
Which is just using black voice, which... Sorry. Everyone does that one.
That's bullshit, man.
It's too fun not to do. By the way, every time a white guy does black voice and says motherfucker, it's because we wanted to say the N-word.
Come on, motherfucker.
Motherfucker! It's funny every time.
Yeah.
And I will stop. I cannot give that one up.
Nope.
I have also heard people accuse people of, I can't remember, maybe it might be digital blackface, if people reply to something with a meme of a black person. Like if you reply with like a Steve Harvey, like giving a look.
Oh, what, I can't God. Watch Price is Right?
Or he fucking gives whatever. Good reaction shots.
Yeah.
That's all he does.
He's got great facial expressions.
He does. Yeah, yeah.
But I have heard that it is blackface to use memes where you have a black reaction to something. Now, what I think we need to eliminate is white women and men saying y'all.
Yeah.
In posts where they are being condescending to people for being hateful.
Right.
Y'all need to live better. I also think white people should not, white women specifically, should not be able to do the thing where they put the clap emoji.
Yes, everyone. I was about to say
that. You can't do that. That is
more offensive than blackface.
That's
to
digital
me.
Blackface for
because
sure.
That now is you
black
are
emojis.
That is crazy. By the way, I only send the black thumbs up.
Yeah. See, that? That's offensive.
Nate Marshall called me out on that once. He's like, do you do that just to me? I was like, no, I do that to everybody. He's like, dude, for months, I thought you were fucking with me.
It'd be so funny to color code based on who you're sending it to. Here's an Asian thumb for you, a Mexican thumb for you.
Oh, it's so fun. I mean, the fist you got to be careful with because they do have the different a white power fist. Yeah, the emojis can do a white power fist.
There's new emojis coming, right? I saw a Bigfoot.
Oh, wow.
Which I cannot fit. Why you would need to shorthand Bigfoot?
There is too many.
Well, the
emojis.
Guys who aren't really good at texting are usually the ones typing a lot about Bigfoot, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Shannon, can you look up the list of the new emojis they have coming out? It was so many things that I just can't imagine the need for it. They just did an SNL sketch with the most and least used emoji.
Yeah.
And it was like... Airline tram something was the least used one.
Oh yeah, I think I saw a clip of that. Yeah, it was like the aerial tramway.
The one kid was the heart emoji.
I have a problem right now with one of my most frequently used emojis.
See, here's what we got. We got
these are new.
Bigfoot,
shocked,
treasure, trombone,
okay,
fight. That one I can see.
Fight is good.
Killer whale. Ballerina.
Okay.
Falling rocks. And then what would that face be? Embarrassed? Staring? Yeah, shocked?
I guess shocked, embarrassed.
I could get used to that.
That's like that Gen Z stare. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
That is
that's,
that.
That's kind of, yeah. That's that like, hey, can I get a splash of milk in the coffee?
Three of those, yeah.
Yeah.
Just
three.
A splash.
Three of those are used.
The fight one, I definitely. The cloud with the...
Oh, especially since you're friends with Lewis. That
yeah.
Like...
That one's just like, you got to get over here.
Yeah,
and then just
yeah.
Like, fight emoji, black fist.
Dude, the emoji, I have a problem. I have a just one of those life bits. I just think it's funny to text random friends randomly the Israel flag. Just out of nowhere, you just get Brett sending you an Israel flag. So now it's like my most frequently used emoji. And now I'm like, I gotta go deeper into the catalog to try and eliminate it from being my number one.
Yeah,
emoji.
Throw the Iranian flag in there.
I need to start.
It is funny that you can switch the races because I don't know how many times somebody's like, I gotta send somebody a black vampire.
Yeah.
Like, unless they're like, hey,
Blade?
Come over, we're watching Blade.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
You're talking Blade, yeah.
All right, moving on. You know, we just mentioned The Price is Right, even though we were meant to talk about Family Feud. Price is Right host Bob Barker had suicidal thoughts after wife's death and became, quote-unquote, narcissistic egomaniac. Whenever I watch old Price is Right, I assume he's fucking everything.
Yeah. Also, I think he just kind of became who he really is, you know?
Yeah.
When he didn't have his wife fucking reeling him in.
Yeah.
Every night,
became...
be like, honey, are you drinking tonight? Like, yeah, I'm fucking drinking again tonight. Yeah. Yeah. I'm staying out late. I'm fucking host of Price is Right, bitch.
I work 3 days a month.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she's out of the picture, and now he gets just fucking no leash.
He just has the energy of like, oh, I'm fucking these ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know
your pets. It's just that's almost like just to get you thinking about cock and balls, you know.
So Shannon, is this from a book, a tell-all, a memoir?
It seems like there's going to be a documentary coming out or docuseries, Dirty Rotten Scandal docuseries on E.
He's the age where you go like, yeah, like
for sure, you earned it.
He was like, he's like,
even,
he's 100.
It was from a different time. It's like getting mad at Jerry Lewis for being a dick. It's like, you went through it.
Yeah, you had to. I think to run something like that, to be the guy in charge of that, you got to fucking throw your dick around a little bit and be an asshole.
Yeah, Ricky from Isle of Lucy, Desi Arnaz.
Yeah.
Fucked everything.
Living the dream.
Lucy would be on set rehearsing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd have one of the dancers up in his room. And by the way, she was no fucking... angel either, because apparently if she caught him, she would be like, where's my spick?
Jesus Christ.
Like, that's how they talked about each other.
Wow. Yeah, different times, dude.
They should have put that in the show.
Yeah, I'd watch that. Where's the BTS of fucking I Love Lucy, dude?
They never, people never, I feel like it's a lost impression. People only do TV, like that era Lucy, like the Ricky.
Yeah.
Old... smoky voice, cancer-ridden Lucy is one of my favorite impressions. I think The Simpsons only did it once.
Yeah.
When Mo was selling clams that look like Lucille Ball. She went, oh, Mr. Mooney. But Stern used to have Lucy call in from her hospital bed.
Wow.
And it was fucking, oh, God damn it. He's so fucking fun. It's the guy, he's Fry and Zap Brannigan on Futurama. He was Ren and Stimpy.
Fuck. I can see his face.
Incredible voice actor.
Yeah, because he would call in Stern all the time as different people. Shannon, can you please give me this guy's name? It's going to drive me fucking crazy.
Billy West.
Billy West. Thank you. And he would call in as Dying Lucy, and it was so fucking funny.
That is a great bit.
And then, of course, Marge Schott. I don't know. That might be a little old for you guys.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I don't know that one.
Marge Schott owned a baseball team and referred to them as her million-dollar N-words. And she had a thick voice. She essentially sounds like racist Stimpy with a Boston accent. And Billy West would call it as her. And that's one of my favorites.
That's fucking great.
Brutal.
Yeah, they're fucking making me money out of here. What fucking Chad? Can you please bring up Stern Marge shot word association? Well, dude, we can listen to a little just, old Stern, right?
Yeah, sure. Just thinking, while it takes time.
Yeah.
I had this story of just people being racist at sporting events. I was at a New York Jets Chiefs game, and I'm having pleasant football banter with the old man next to me. You know, oh, the quarterback looks good, blah. And then at one point, he just goes, that's why I like this sport. If these guys didn't have this, they'd all be in prison.
Jesus Christ.
And you just go, well, and coward that I am, I was like, mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Coward that a schmuck that I am. I didn't go, you're fucking insane. That's a horrible thing to say.
He's like, well, that's why I like football. I think it's great. Look what it does.
I am all of these men from being in prison.
Like, that's not why you should love football.
Do any of these look familiar to you?
Just do any of them. Any March shot one is fine. That black one is fine.
Is Marge Schott,
yes,
who you are now going. Let's get Mrs. Schott on the phone so she can be part of it.
Apparently, last night on Primetime Live, Marge Schott was interviewed by Diane Sawyer.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Now, you know that Marge has been suspended from baseball for a year for using derogatory comments in reference to black people, Jewish people, Japanese people. Well, last
the big
night...
Three.
What she called
just a lot of them.
Japs.
She called them Japs?
Yeah.
Not Nips?
last night on Primetime Live, she repeated her belief that everyone uses the word nigger and that she doesn't think the swastika is a symbol of evil.
Oh, boy.
She says she believes racism
she's
is
a early libertarian.
Isn't there.
Mr. Schott?
Hello?
Yes. Is this true what Robin is telling me, that you feel everyone uses the word nigger?
I feel that everyone uses that word, and what can I say? I'm suspended and I'm fine, and I did nothing wrong. I mean, thanks to me, a few cotton pickers are off the streets and making a few bucks.
Well, you have a very warped view of life, don't you?
Well, I put a bat in a nigger's hand so he can hit balls, not heads.
Well... look, using that word...
This is the other radio!
I tried to improve the lives of these friggin' gorillas,
and I Jesus about it.
You're absolutely outrageous.
They're doing this because I'm a woman.
What are you doing now? I understand you're organizing a protest.
There's marches in my favor. There were people against me. There was a poll in Cincinnati. I urge all these people to put down those Budweisers and march with me.
March
against the damn Jews, too. They take the stupid coons money, and that's fine.
Oh, she's ahead of her time on that one.
If these niggas ever worked a day in their lazy lives, they'd understand.
You're outrageous.
Don't get me wrong.
All right, now, Robin, what
well,
else do you say?
How funny is it that he's just in the room?
Said that yeah. The swastika, the symbol of Nazi Germany, was not a symbol of evil.
I don't think it is.
So this is Mark West?
Billy West.
Billy West.
Well, wait a minute. Let me finish, Marge. You said that you weren't talking about Jews when you said that Hitler had the right idea but went too far.
What were you talking about?
He brought the economy around.
Well, he did help the German economy.
He had family in Germany, and they did okay by Hitler, but he did go, look, I love niggers and kikes, and I can even put up with a spick or two.
Well
you do say that as for calling Jews money-grubbing, that those accusations were made by a disgruntled former employee and that you have a Jewish boy... who heads up your Chevrolet store.
A Jewish boy.
Yeah.
Why would you admit, you know, why would Mrs. Schott, Robin, why would Mrs. Schott admit to having said the word nigger? Why didn't she just deny it?
It would seem to me that she really doesn't realize that she's only going to get herself in more trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you just say, hey, wait a second. These are a bunch of vicious people trying to slander me. I love...
Just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, I love people. That's what you would say, but she goes, no, nigger, yeah, everyone uses the word nigger.
Everybody uses the word nigger.
I know it's a derogatory
okay,
word.
It's
but some
crazy.
People,
yeah. By the way, there's an entire generation that does not know this Stern existed.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of shocking to hear him this blatant with it even then.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
that's crazy. That was, you could just turn on the radio and hear that.
Yeah. That is just FM, just. You didn't have, that wasn't behind a paywall.
No.
It wasn't the Patreon specific episode.
He had a show on UPN.
Wow.
Howard Stern Live was at the UPN suit, and then it was on E.
Wow. Yeah, they just let it fly back then.
Oh, but it was working. It was they were pouring in cash. I mean, maybe not in the early days.
Still is.
Yeah,
still
still is. Yeah.
He just zooms into his Sirius XM show.
Crazy.
It just
doesn't give a shit.
$4 million an episode, just zooming in. You got to go in studio if you're making that kind of money.
It is crazy.
It's Stern, it's Legacy.
It's funny that they built him his fucking Batmobile elevator and he doesn't, you know that?
It goes right into his, into his house.
His limo goes into the, up to the studio.
Oh, right to the studio.
I think he has a private thing.
A private elevator?
So that like, that people don't see him.
And he's like, I got a webcam. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Flip that Logitech on. And
but I mean, I grew up on some
Logitech. I bought one of those.
Yeah, fucking 1080
my ass. Stern was such a big deal growing up, like, because everyone worked on trucks in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone listened. Like, Stern was the most, like, dude, one of the last times I was in Sirius, I saw fucking Gary Delabate walking around, and I was starstruck.
Yeah,
I was like, that's fucking Baba Booey. Holy shit.
Yeah, just, yeah, I mean, that was probably one of the first, like, niche celebrities, because back in those days, if someone was famous, they were famous, but that radio world was making people that, if you watched that show, you were like, holy fuck.
And it was
kind of that.
Every, dude, the day of the OJ killings, when they had somebody prank call the news and say that they were watching OJ, and then they just start doing Howard Stern jokes, in the middle of a live murder investigation.
Wow.
People are yelling Baba Booey into the phone.
Reckless.
There was another, it might have been an earthquake or some some big natural disaster, and a guy called in as a scientist and was getting interviewed. He goes, I believe it actually started with a large gust of wind from Howard Stern's ass. Baba Booey! Baba Booey! And dude, watching news people just lose their fucking minds. Oh, fuck. All right.
So great.
Moving on. Chad, do we have anything else on that Bob Barker thing, or that was just stuff that's going to be in the documentary?
Yeah, it's basically what you guys said, that like he was like super bummed, and everyone on set could tell that he was very withdrawn for several months. And then one of the models that worked on the show said that all of a sudden one day he just came out of it and became the, quote, man about town. But then he went on to be in a serious relationship for like the next like 20 years of his life with another woman. They never got married. And then they were just together until he died in 2023.
Hey, so does Wild Oats.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I'm happy for him.
I think if your wife dies, you get 10 years.
Yeah.
To be a bag of shit again.
Yeah.
And then you figure
your
out.
Your wife dies, you get 4 Me Toos that will forgive. You know?
Yeah. You get a few. You get a few. You get sympathy pussy, and then you get a few years of man about town pussy.
Right.
And you settle back down.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you did it right.
Yeah.
I got
no issue with it. All right.
We're going to regret that when we find out what's in the documentary.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be
just
bad.
Clip Drew saying he did it right.
Yeah.
And it's just him.
Four women are like, it was December 17th.
He's beating women with that long microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let me put this out there. Yeah. I can't believe Bob Barker did that.
He's just got 8 women with their legs in the air, and he's got the Plinko board going. He's jerking off of the Plinko board, seeing which is going to take
his board, a bunch of ladies at the
bottom. He's definitely had sex on some of those cars. There's no way.
For sure. Yeah.
There's no way. That era of show.
You want a brand new car. Air quotes, brand new.
Okay, this is actually not a story we had listed, so Shannon, I'm going to have to ask you to do it. I bought my sister-in-law's house a emulator for old games for the TV. It's like a stick that goes in the TV. And love my wife's family very much. My sister-in-law, very progressive and very outspoken about it. Mm-hmm. And whenever I'm home with my family in Sea Caucus, I feel like the world's most namby-pamby liberal homo in the world. And when I'm with my wife's family, I might as well walk in the door with a fucking MAGA hat on. And my sister-in-law walked in on me playing one of my favorite NES games as a kid, which was called Caveman Games.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do either of you have this?
No, not Caveman Games. No.
All right, Shannon, if you could look up Caveman Games NES Mate Toss, which is one of the events. It's essentially Caveman Olympics.
Okay.
So you have dinosaur racing, like a hurdles thing.
Stone throw.
Javelin, the American Gladiators kind of thing. So this is Mate Toss. You also drag her in by her feet.
As they did.
Yeah, yeah.
Solid execution.
This is that's a great throw.
Wow.
And my sister-in-law walked in on me playing this and was very upset.
Getting mad at a game from 1987.
I mean, this might be one of the first females in a video game. I think this is progress, really.
It really is.
If you throw her too short, she gets mad at you.
Yeah. She's okay.
So I was trying to explain to my wife's family.
Bro, it's cavemen.
Yeah, right.
They're not progressive. Sorry.
That there used to be crazy, dirty video games in that era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you know what I'm talking about? They're like they were like porno games.
Oh, that type. Because I was at an arcade and they had a free thing and we played Michael Jackson's a Michael Jackson video game where literally
you save children.
Moonwalker, and it's literally there are kids going like, "Help me, Michael! Help me!"
Whoa.
And then you have to beat up these like cyborgs, and then you like touch the kid, and it's like, "Thank you, Michael."
Yeah,
that's the game, and you're like, "Wow!"
Chad, if you could look up the game Custer's Last Stand, I think it is.
Oh boy!
And then there's another one. I don't know how to. If you could just look up X-rated Nintendo games, there was one where you were just a guy on a ledge jerking off.
I looked it up here. This guy is just like scrolling game, through his collection.
There. I've been hiking.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Peekaboo poker.
The good stuff, man.
Hello, everyone. You can fast forward through it a little until we get the game footage.
Bubble Bath Babes.
From 1990 to 1994, Hacker with the soccer ball. Japanese video game for porn approach to gaming developed pornographic theme games for the featured female nudity as a reward for skillful playing. Now,
this is I play that at
prize plums.
After every Zach show, I am either horrified or I gotta jerk off.
Yeah, now I gotta go find a retro video game store on the way to the subway. Peek-a-boo poker.
All three were distributed by a company called so these were just like regular games where you got rewarded with nudity.
But that was an era where like that nudity, because porn wasn't so available, like even a 2D pixelated tit was like
insane.
Like,
Look up Custer's Last Stand.
It's why like even nudity in movies, it's just, it doesn't have the same, remember like early American Pie?
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. But like now, I don't know, every kid has just seen all the tits by the age of 15.
Yeah,
just
right.
Seen them all.
I don't know, still can't argue with Shannon Elizabeth, though.
Can't argue with what?
Shannon Elizabeth in American Pie.
Oh,
that's top tier.
Yeah,
I mean, that's burnt. I mean, it's also burned. We always say From Dusk Till Dawn, heard the snake dance. But I would say Shannon Elizabeth getting naked in Jim's room when he comes in his pants. Which, by the way, people forget, Blink-182 are watching on the webcam.
Yeah,
with the monkey.
Yeah, that's right.
So I found Custer's Revenge on
Atari. That's it. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
And that's the game.
You have sex?
She's tied to a post.
Custer's Revenge.
And Chad, if you just look at X-rated NES games, there should be one where there's one where ladies are shooting milk out of their tits, and in the same game, a guy is jerking off the thing, and the people on the ground have to catch it. It's fucking nuts. And they weren't, so originally Nintendo only.
Can we do a Zach and Miko Olympics?
I would love that.
And we do the video game, and then Zach, you also go to a ledge.
Yeah.
You get some of the interns at gas.
Yeah. Can you beat your digital time?
Because I believe NES, that was the reason they started only doing NES produced games for a while.
Yeah.
Or you had to have a license with them.
Yeah. This
people would make bootlegs.
Yeah. This is before the age of any sort of like grading of video games, no sort of board to approve, no like FDA equivalent for video games.
Right.
Like, yeah. It was
I forgot. These were Atari. So that might be the Atari instead of NES, Shannon.
Yeah. The NES one, I mean, you could share this. These are the ones that came up for NES. This Lolita Hen.
Yeah, try Atari. Yeah, try X-rated Atari games.
It's wild.
And then we'll get at it. I won't make you search anything any longer.
Yeah, I was more of the SNES generation growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I was saying you're
had,
a little
reeled it in a bit. Yeah,
I had gotten.
Anyways?
I mean, I kind of want to see Philly Flasher.
Let me look it up on YouTube.
The Cat House Blues. Been there, bro. Yeah. The Cat House
I had
Blues.
My uncle's NES and his games. So when kids were getting a Super Nintendo, I was getting all the old Nintendo
games.
Yeah,
okay.
And then I went right to Genesis.
Yeah.
Where I was, this is how horny I was. They came out with a thing for the Genesis that was an octagon that you stood in. And when you, it had like motion sensors. So when you put your hand or foot over the sensor, it would react with a button, like an A or a B. But the commercials, it would be like a fighting game. And when you punched, they would punch. You kicked, they would kick. Not really how it worked. It was more like Dance Dance Revolution kind of controls.
Sure.
But as a kid, I did not understand the concept. And I thought that it recorded your movements and then did them on the screen. So I thought if you punched, they punched. So I had Streets of Rage 2. And I waited for my parents to both leave. Played as the girl, got in the octagon, started the game, and took my shirt off.
Thinking
the character would take this, that I would see digital boobs.
Zach was just flicking it, flicking toward his crotch.
Getting
like that.
So excited for your parents to leave. Just being like, oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait to see
game
this.
I have big ideas.
I can't wait to see this girl on roller skates take her tits out. In this scroll through beat 'em up.
Yeah, now you're just in your living room with your tits out and nothing's
it's
changing.
It's a beat 'em off.
Beat 'em off.
Shannon, did you find this is exactly it.
This is the jerk off. Oh my.
Well, this one is
oh my god.
But yeah, there's a bunch of versions of this game where you're that one I think is supposed to be milk.
Yeah, titty milk out of the witch.
But there's the same one with a guy jerking off, and the ladies have to catch the cub.
Yeah, get the jerk in, yep.
Oh, and their cocks are out now.
Yeah, the cocks are...
Yeah.
They got some nice...
It's crazy, right? That's wow. So fucking wild.
They got to remake The King of Kong, but with that game.
The King of Cum? Yeah.
The King of Cum.
And it's just a guy in a tie with long hair. He's beating the record.
That's the best documentary ever, by the way.
All right, let's see this. Desperate farmers dress in bear costumes to scare away potato-eating monkeys that break into homes and ransack fridges. I'm going to assume Detroit. Shannon, where are we talking here?
So this is in India.
Okay, that figures.
It's like
that was
and then
guess
I have
number
a
two.
Video. Sound.
That's horrifying. If that was at my door, I would be terrified.
Yeah. Especially if you then heard an Indian guy, hello.
Yeah.
You're like, ugh.
Oh no. This got worse. It's an Indian bear. Do you have any picnic baskets?
I need potatoes.
That's pretty funny.
That's good stuff.
That's kind of a fun thing to do with your friends.
Yeah.
That's like before you invent the scarecrow, you went through all those ideas, you know?
Yeah.
I'll dress up as a big bird. I oddly have an anecdote about this.
Yes.
My friend Babette, who I talk about a lot, is a makeup artist and a bunch of other stuff. She's a big drag queen. Very, very, one of my favorite people in the world. One time walked in on me doing drugs and I apologized and she put her hand on my shoulder and said, Zach, I was gay in the 80s. There's no amount of drugs I could walk into and be shocked. worked at Universal. And she did like Grinchmas and all that shit.
Okay.
And she was telling me that there's an old thing like in circus and vaudeville and shit that you don't want, if you have monkeys in an act, you don't want them around drag queens, kids, or clowns.
Okay.
Because certain things alert them to danger. And if they see a drag queen or a clown, sometimes they think it is an enemy of some sort, right? Or a lion. Or if they have like big hair.
Yeah, right. An expression that yeah. they're shocked. And...
they see it as a predator. So there was some fucking monkey movie they were promoting. So they had all these monkey acts. And it was at the same time they were doing The Grinch.
Okay.
And this monkey sees The Grinch.
Oh.
And thinks it's a lion.
Oh, God.
And just goes fucking nuts, right? They're like having to hold it down. And now they can't get whatever this fucking monkey was supposed to go do.
Yeah.
Because it's scared of The Grinch. So she sees the monkey's trainer pick up a walkie-talkie and go, we're going to need Harry in. They were also promoting Harry and the Hendersons, if you remember the Bigfoot movie.
No.
With John Lithgow.
Okay.
Where yeah. John Lithgow and his family adopt a Bigfoot.
Okay.
Shannon, you could bring up a picture of Harry and the Hendersons.
I remember
classic
this.
Children's
yeah.
movie. Harry shows up, who is a 7-foot Bigfoot, and the monkey grabs onto him like it's his dad. Yeah, there he is. And to get him past the Grinches, they would have to have Harry walk him.
Wow.
So that he wouldn't be afraid of them.
Wow, like the original fucking Punch the Monkey, dude.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
That's insane. So, I mean, that guy does look like a gorilla, I guess.
And that was the only way to get the monkeys to pass by the Grinch.
Wow.
And they'd be like, yeah, well, my backup's here, bitch.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's what I thought. Stupid-ass green lion.
Oh, really? Around the same time they were promoting, another time she was there, they were promoting the first Men in Black. And if you remember, there was a pug that was like a big part of Men in Black.
Yeah, yeah.
So they would have Men in Black agents walking around the park with a matching pug also in the suit with the sunglasses.
Okay.
But the pugs would follow them and stop when they stopped, etc.
Yeah.
It's because they had a thing in their shoe that the dogs were trained to follow.
Oh, yeah. So they didn't have a fucking pug training regiment to get them trained like German shepherds.
They would train them, but basically, I think there was a sound or something that was emitted.
Yeah, fucking from the, slice of baloney.
It was an anklet, I believe.
Okay.
Wow.
And you could put it on, and the pug will just follow you. But when you stop, it stops and sits.
Wow.
So she told me on their lunch breaks, she would take all the anklets and put them on her ankles and wrists.
Yeah, yeah.
And just walk around the park with like 10 pugs in suits following her in a parade.
That's fucking great.
That would make you feel like a god.
Oh, yeah.
How cool would that be?
That's sick.
That is amazing.
We'll do one more thing before we get out of here. Woman details extreme daily routine to survive life-threatening sun allergy that would burn her skin off.
Jesus.
Born
on the wrong planet.
Sun allergy, and now that it's March here in Virginia, I have to be so careful anytime I leave the house because the UV index is higher and stronger, and if I get even the tiniest amount of sun, my skin will burn.
I don't believe her.
Yeah, I don't believe her.
Yeah, me neither. Why would you live in Virginia if you were going to die in the sun? You'd go to Alaska or something, you know?
Or go half the year to a place that has no sun.
Yeah, or
and
like
then go somewhere else that has no sun.
At least a state that has basements.
Yeah. Very true. An excellent point.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Dunn.
No Virginia? Problem.
No, usually in the south they don't have them.
Oh, really?
That's yeah, yeah.
Thing? I think a lot of it's flooding.
Yeah, it's flooding and then the bedrock's too hard and it's just too expensive to chew it up.
All right, so let's keep this going.
Off. So, I am leaving the house today, and it's the first time that I have to take all my sun precautions, so I thought I would just show what I do just to leave the house. All right, so the first thing is my car. It is completely tinted all the way around. That's just to protect me from the sun while I'm driving. I had one instance where the sun got on my face before my car was tinted, and it burned this entire half of my face. So that qualified me for full tint. I get this question a lot. If I get pulled over, it's in the DMV, like my records, and I also have a doctor's note, so they would have to let me go, but that's never happened before.
The cops are probably shocked clothing. When they roll down so that window and it's a white lady.
Yeah, like a white 20-year-old
so
girl.
Whoa.
This on, which I zip fully, and then I wear my hair down to protect my neck. I have UV protective leggings, UV protective socks and sneakers. I also wear sunscreen everywhere, and I'm talking like in the middle parts of my ears, under my nails, and everything. I've had times where I didn't do that, and I would have burns in those places, and it's so uncomfortable.
This lady saw a vampire movie when she was four and decided on a personality.
Yeah, got one sunburn and just fucking,
Yeah.
It feels like Michael McKean's character in Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
The brother who can't. I'm allergic to electronics.
Which apparently is based off of two ladies.
Really?
Who claim to have that.
That allergy.
Yes, that is a real case that that is based on. Go ahead, Shannon.
Of my car, I have to bring this super cool UV protective umbrella. It's massive. When I first started using it, I was really self-conscious just because of how big it is, and there's no good way to carry it around anywhere you go, but anything is better than burning, so... I do want to note the one terrible part of having to wear all this UV clothing is I am so hot. I am literally sweating, and I haven't even left my garage, especially when it gets to be July and it's like 95 degrees. Oh, my God, it's miserable.
Hold.
So I don't spend much time outside. And, of course, I have polarized sunglasses. These pretty much live on my face. Even if I'm like inside,
by the way, there's some Muslim woman watching this right now. Yeah, that's you're like, tell me more, bitch.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm like, why not just throw the burqa on and you'd be fine, dude. Just convert to Islam and you have no problems with the sun ever again.
Yeah, there's how many Pakistani women watching this? No, cry me a river, cunt. Yeah.
You don't need to wear a puffer, though. Like, the puffer, you don't need the...
Shannon, what do you feel about this?
I want to see the burns. I want to see her suck it up for her TikTok followers, go outside without this stuff, and let's see your skin burn.
Yeah, let's do the two-face, like she said, in the car. Let me see half your face roasted after like 30 seconds, and then the rest of it's,
This can't be.
This can't be real.
No.
This one can't
be real. If it is real, it's greatly...
Well, she's the only one that we've ever heard of in all of human history.
And I understand there are abnormalities.
Sure.
But
super. I mean, you're either the most unlucky person in all of human history or you're a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is
should we kill some people?
I want to, if that's your chick, how fast do you just break a hole in the ceiling?
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, we're putting in a.
You Dracula? You just like. You just like bang a hole in the drywall.
Yeah, she falls asleep. You just slightly open every curtain just to see. Yeah.
Oh, it's fucking disgusting. All right, I think we're about almost. I'm going to end on this. Floridians can still marry their cousins after lawmakers fail to pass statewide ban.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Hey, you want to be free? That's freedom, baby.
That's freedom, man.
And this is cousins. Like, this is like...
Yeah, the good shit.
Your aunt's daughter, your mom's sister's daughter, your That's mom's right. brother's daughter.
Yes, That's first right. cousin.
When we got a good connection. We grew up together.
By the way, also legal in New York.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Huh.
That's like...
I love my...
That's a one-stop ticket to fucking not good Kidville, right?
It's also New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and California are among the 16 states where first cousins are allowed to get married with no restrictions.
Good.
Some states have restrictions where if one cousin is infertile, they can do it. But then the rest have blanket bans.
Why would that matter?
Like, blanket so they don't have kids.
No, I know, but it's just
even, blanket bans is
No getting under the blanket.
Yeah,
no, we got
if you're gonna fuck, you do it in sunlight.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, get out! Hey, is that your cousin? Get out from under that blanket.
God damn it! You know the law.
That's crazy, man. That you would think we would get rid of that by now.
I love. Yeah, you would. You would. It's funny that our country.
It's crazy that that's been on the books. And they still had a fight for gay rights.
I know.
Yeah. We got to start looking at these senators, you know, marriages. Who are they actually married to? That's what it is. There's somebody in power who's fucking their cousin that's like, no, we should keep that.
100%.
Maybe we'll put it into the bill with the military spending and it's all good.
Yeah, but come on.
Just get that one little cousin.
And Johnny can fuck his cousin. All right.
Yeah, there was a Survivor winner who tried to like run for some state legislature thing and it felt one of the main tenets of his campaign was like cousin fucking should be allowed.
Oh boy. That's a tough one to run on.
Yeah, but not where I think he won the
Chad, before we go, can you please
he
look
had
up
the money and the platform
the real case of the woman who said she was allergic to electricity. The
slogan was it's time.
What am I going to somebody else? That's the argument in Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, she's my cousin.
Yeah.
Oh, no, somebody else fuck
somebody
she's
else.
Hot. Oh, no, somebody else fuck
somebody
her?
Else fuck my cousin.
That is the funny when Jonah Hill goes. He goes, what if you have kids? Oh, you know, we'll do right by him. We'll put him in an institution or something. Shannon, if you could look it up. Yeah, I think so it's two sisters, right?
Wait.
Can we see your cousins, again?
Maybe it's just one lady.
Oh, I just have the name of the different types of allergies.
Specifically, can you find the lady, the person who's allergic to, I want to say, electromagnetic waves or electricity in general? Because that's what the guy on Better Call Saul was, right?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's a real, and it's one of those things where like two people have it.
And he must have read that, or one of the writers read that and was like,
Perfect.
Can we make that feel real? And they did. It was like,
well, because they definitely wanted an agoraphobe.
Yeah.
Yep, here we go.
Wow.
A British woman uses an electric kettle.
Cannot use it.
Cannot use her electric kettle, keeps her washing machine in a concrete outhouse, and cannot have neighbors with wireless internet because she is allergic to electricity.
Wait, but she still does the wash? That's...
Maybe
also,
somebody else has to do it.
I just have to say, the very first thing is, like, electric kettle.
Yeah, that's not a British woman.
You know,
I've got to boil me water proper.
By the way, she could not have more of a annoying cunt face.
Oh, dude, you know, she's going like, somebody's got the Wi-Fi on.
Yeah.
I feel it in me brainwaves. I'm getting hives. Like, no, you're not. You're fucking...
There has to be a video
it's
of this
all
lady,
mental,
right, Shannon?
It has to be mental, man.
100%. There's
someone's
no way.
Charging a phone on my block. I can feel it.
The vapors.
Trembling.
I'm going to have a spell.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting a phone call.
Oh, fucking hell.
How do you not just sneak electric around her?
Yeah, totally,
see,
dude.
If she notices.
I just have batteries in my pockets at all times.
All times.
Can you taser and cure it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hit me right.
Holy fucking hell.
Showing
I just
up.
Needed a bit more.
Pokemon going at her doorstep.
Yeah. Any luck, Shannon?
I don't know it. No, this isn't her talking. It's people talking about her. This is another woman.
Sure.
One second.
And we'll call it on this. Thank you guys for your patience.
No worries. I know some Jews who are allergic to electricity on Saturday. It's like a thing.
They are a growing community of people who say they're allergic to mobile phones and Wi-Fi signals. Sufferers of what is known as electromagnetic sensitivity, ES for short.
In England, I was so sick. I couldn't exist. I was just ill from morning to night. You know, just repeat every single day.
Oh, watch out for the lights.
Most have moved here from other parts of the USA. But Sylvia Wilson's journey has been much longer. She's come with her daughter more than 3,500 miles from Lincolnshire.
Immediately, it's like this energy that comes, you know, from deep inside you, feeling severely sick. I have thrown up various times, and it's not very pleasant. Then it just gives you, you know, after a while, these horrendous headaches. You know, just your head feels like, you know, you have a lot of pressure in your head, and hitting, burning sensations. They are the most uncomfortable. You know, hot
power line
coming
above her.
Into your head and twitching.
I believe none of this.
That's very, very unpleasant, very painful.
This is why Greenbank has become a sanctuary. It's part of the US Radio Quiet Zone, a 130,000 square mile area where radios and mobile phones are banned or severely restricted in case they interfere with this, the world's largest telescope.
And that doesn't bother them?
Yeah, what's that?
One of the very few places in the world where you can escape mobile phones and other electromagnetic signals. For Sylvia, it's become a refuge.
Sorry, I feel sick.
This was Sylvia when I first met her 7 years ago. She'd lined her house in Horncastle with tinfoil.
Yeah, wow.
She believed it would protect her and her family.
Oh, good.
Mobile phone mask.
She's
nearby.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The power is very, very strong.
By the way, this might be where they got it from for Saul.
It might, yeah.
Didn't he do the tinfoil?
Yeah, he
did. Or he did the space blankets?
Yes, the space blankets.
Become physically ill.
It's all the way through here. It's in your daughter's bedroom as well. I mean, all over the ceiling here.
I had to actually look after my mum. She couldn't even get out of bed. She was so ill. And I had to, make her breakfast. And I had to...
Oh, wow. Yeah, all because your mom was sick. You had to get breakfast in bed.
There came a point when Sylvia felt too ill to stay in the UK. The family home was sold and she looked to start a new life with her youngest daughter. She was forced to leave her older children and husband behind.
Who realized she was fucking nuts.
Dude.
Who realized, hey, we got to give up one of you, and you have to go live with crazy in the tinfoil house.
Yeah.
We'll continue to be functioning humans.
Yeah, we're spending $3,000 a month on fucking tinfoil.
Yeah, have fun in fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
By the way, what a great town to move to if you're going to cheat a lot.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just go down the road. How are they going to know? This bitch can't leave the house. Are you cheating on me? I don't know. Are you going to check my phone?
It's a landline.
All right, we're going to call it there. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I want to thank my wonderful guests, Brett Raybould and Drew Dunn. Thank you so much to Shannon and Jorge in the booth. As always, killing it, guys. Please enjoy Mexico. Have so much fucking fun. You guys truly deserve it. You work so fucking hard, and we really appreciate you guys so much. And we will be back on Friday with a bonus episode. And we'll be back on Monday with a pre-tape because I didn't want you guys to have to miss an episode. So thank you guys so much, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The fun's begun, no sleeping in. Noon is morning time to him. Pop a bagel, chug it down, just like your favorite Obie's clown. Grab a coffee and join the crew. It's Zach Amico, woof, woof, morning zoo. It's Zach Amico.